Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger, who's really hitting those levels.
Oh, baby. Level up, because we are, as always, rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads.
Yeah, all of it.
And easy and convenient to
listen
to.
What percentage do you think we're at?
Podcast form. Well, I don't know what episode number this is.
I think 70. I think we blew past 69 because we kept forgetting to count.
It's always the case with a good 69.
Yeah.
So if we've done 70, what percentage do you of pages on Wikipedia?
How much of Wikipedia is that? Like half, you think?
I don't know.
Because that's the real problem with this podcast is we're going to finish all of Wikipedia too soon.
You think?
And then what are we going to do with ourselves?
I understand your fear, right? But I suspect that we probably have not even eclipsed the half a percentage point.
I mean,
like, all
right, so maybe it's closer to 40%, but it's got to be up there.
I don't know,
we've done a lot of things. We've done several birds.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a drug we never heard of.
Right.
We did skyscrapers.
We've done video game characters. We've done video games.
That's most things.
Yeah. We've done scientific processes.
Probably.
I don't know.
My brain's not ideal.
I don't know. Yeah, you're bringing a weird energy tonight. You all right?
I mean, I'm on drugs.
Okay.
But again, as we've talked about in earlier episodes, prescribed ones that I'm supposed to be taking.
Right.
My toe hurts real bad.
Mm.
Is it broken? There's no way of knowing.
What'd you do?
I kicked a door real hard by accident.
Oh.
Well, not the door jam. So my dog eats garbage
because
he's a dog and that is what they do.
Right.
But he's also old, so now I can kind of sneak up on him. So he was in the bathroom trying to get the bathroom garbage. He's like, ooh, now's my chance. I'm going to sneak up on this little trash boy. And I go in there, and then I was going to, like, spring on him in the last second to, like, scare him so that he would stop
shit all over the bathroom floor.
Stop eating garbage all the time. But when I went to, like, jump into the bathroom to go, rah, I kicked the door jam. Mm. So I went, rah, but loudly because my toe hurt real bad. And then the next morning, we were packing up a Thanksgiving dinner donation to bring into my child's school. And the bag ripped and a giant can of sweet potatoes fell on the same toe.
Okay, pick an incident.
It's just not been a good week for this, for my right big toe.
Mm.
And then I went to the doctor's this morning for not toe-related things.
But you're like, hey, yo, while
I'm
here.
While I'm here.
Yeah, let me get maximum.
You want to look at my gross toe?
Yeah, I paid the copay, so let's just bundle
some. Let me get
the
most out of this copay. So she looked at my gross toe, poked it, and I was like, yeah, that hurts real bad. Please don't do that anymore. And she's like, it might be broken, but if it is,
we're not going
to
do anything.
There's not a lot we can do. You can tape it to the other one. That's about it. So we could x-ray it to find out. I'm like, I'm fine with the ambiguity. Like, I don't need to know if it is broken or not to know my toe hurt real bad.
Why not tape it up then?
It is.
Yo, you taped it up?
Yeah.
Huh.
No, it was. And then I took a shower after my haircut. I didn't retape it.
Mm.
I got back from the doctor's.
Gotta get those little hairs off.
Tapey tape. And then I took it off for the shower because it felt weird when it got wet.
Well,
so this week we're talking about my big toe.
No, are we?
Yeah.
That's the history, your specific big toe?
The pre-existing Wikipedia page for Glenn Tickle's right big toe.
I don't want to burst your bubble, bud, but I actually am staring at a Facebook post that I made asking for topic suggestions.
How many of them are about my toes?
None of them are about your toes, but there's 29 possible subjects.
I got more toes than that.
You got more than 29 toes?
Yeah.
Of your own? Or are you counting your entire family?
Nah, just on me.
I feel like you wasted your copay. You should have gotten that checked out. You shouldn't have more than 10.
No, just kind of, they kind of just go all the way around.
The fuck?
Like, you know how your garbage toes, you've only got a few of them sticking out the front?
Sure, yeah, five on each foot.
Like some kind of a-hole. Mine go all the way around. All the way around the foot.
Like a derpy sun hat, but of toes on your feet?
Sort of. It's like a Shakespeare collar of toes around my foot.
That's disgusting. No, but it's, I also picture you moving around like just by wiggling your toes in any direction.
Yeah, I can
like a queen on a chessboard.
I can kind of Fred Flintstone it.
Yeah. Oh man.
What are those metatarsals?
I don't fucking
toe
know.
Toe bones?
What? Maybe that's one of the suggestions. Phalan- Pick a number, bud. 1 and 20. 9.
6.
Number 6. Sexy number 6 comes to us from the wonderful, the hilarious Christy Devlin.
Devlin?
I just did a show with her last night.
Oh, word?
Yeah, it was like, it's a very funny show in the model of Hollywood Squares.
Oh, Valleyward Squares.
Yeah, Valleyward Squares. Yeah, Daniel Moyer show. She was a character.
I haven't had a chance to make it out to that one, but it seems very fun.
You'll love this. So we were in space. That was the gimmick. Because remember when game shows had gimmicks?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so it was Valleyward Squares in space. And she played a space character named Ralph, who they stole the life from to make Alf.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. She was great.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it was real good.
Hey, how come nobody's let me host a game show?
I don't know.
I mean, I know, like, Steel Stacks would. Yeah. I can host a game show. But I mean, like, on television. Like, there's a big resurgence.
Yeah.
Of 70s games coming back with celebrity hosts. So, granted, like, Alec Baldwin's got Match Game. He's more famous than me.
Yeah, does Wayne Brady's probably got something, right?
Probably. I think probably. Dax Shepard's on one now. Yeah. Just like...
Well, what's the... like the
give me
the,
one.
What's the 70s game show that was as popular
that
as
license plate one?
What the fuck are you talking about?
So you know how there's vanity license plates where people spell things but you don't have enough letters?
Right.
There was a game show of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to be the host of its revival.
All right. Well, we just the secreted it. We threw it out into the universe.
Get it out into the universe.
Yeah. All right. It has not worked for our Colin Hanks ask. You know.
No. Yeah.
It still stands. If anybody can get us in touch with Colin Hanks, we want to write a spec script father son pilot reboot of Diagnosis Murder for him and Tom that he can give to his father for Christmas.
Yeah.
But we got to get a hold of him first. So. Well, you picked Christy's suggestion for this episode.
Yes, what is the suggestion?
Has nothing to do with toes, has nothing to do with Colin Hanks or disappointing our fathers. She wants to know about the Etch-A-Sketch.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, very fun toy. When I shuffle off this mortal coil,
sure,
I would very much like to be cremated, and I would like my ashes put into an Etch-A-Sketch.
Did you know that that is a real option that you have?
I did not.
You can 100% do that.
Oh, thank gosh.
That will be on the Wikipedia page for sure.
Mm.
Who made that bad boy? It was...
Hasbro? Milton
Bradley? I think one of them snapped it up.
They.
But originally, it was Spin Masters?
The people that did Spin Art?
Maybe.
You think
and they made like Frisbee. It was a toy company.
Whammo was always Frisbee.
Whammo, I think, had the trademark on the name Frisbee.
Frisbee, yeah.
I think Spin Masters might have launched this scratchy line friend into the world.
Is that what we're calling the Etch-A-Sketch, the scratchy line friend?
Well, it's, you know, if we're trying to do a knockoff... And we want to make...
Like a dollar store version of the Etch-A-Sketch is the Scratchy Line Friend.
So, I know how it works.
I don't, but I think it's magnets, bitch.
So, there's that dust in it, right? That's the... When
the ground
you shake
up people.
It to clear it up. Yeah, the ashes of a fallen loved one. You shake it up and that coats the screen... In and I don't know if it's magnets or if it's just like a
static electricity,
thing. Mm-hmm. And that when you turn the dials, right, the one on the left is the horizontal control, the one on the right is vertical. You are moving a little stylus, and you're kind of scraping that dust off of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is how you draw the lines.
Yeah, that makes much more sense. I don't know why. I always assumed it was magnets, but static electricity makes way, 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 way more sense.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. It might be.
Maybe I'm conflating Wooly Willy.
Wooly Willy's magnets. That's iron filings with a little magnet pen.
You know, when I was a kid, in my mind, I don't know why, but I always in my mind had. Do you remember Magnadoodle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always preferred the Magnadoodle because I was like, these little squiggly lines are bullshit. Let me create. Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's the screen looks similar, so that is why I'm one. It might be magnets, but I think maybe not.
Well,
I feel like with magnets it would be too clumpy because that's the problem with Magnadoodle.
Yeah, pop.
When you try to get like fine details, you just get kind of clumps of the iron filings sticking. Because they stick to the pen because the pen is magnetic, but they stay on the screen, I think, because of static, would be my guess.
You think there's two people at the dinner party here?
There's two people at the dinner party?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
All right. I like the phrasing.
Yeah, thanks.
So
paragraph one, sentence one, the Etch-A-Sketch is a
beloved children's toy.
Mm-hmm. Originally created in the 1960s.
I'll go 60s.
It is a self-contained
breathing
plastic. It's not scuba, Glenn, we were actually like, that was almost the most professional attempt that we've had.
Well, that's what the listeners come for, John, is our professionalism. You're right. It's not for great jokes about underwater breathing apparatus.
Which happens to be self-contained. Willy
looking motherfucker.
Oh, boy. You know who's a Willy looking motherfucker? Your real-life nemesis, Ben Youngerman.
Oh, God. He does look like... So you get a Willy, right? It's just a blank idiot face. And you just dump iron filings on it to make it look like he's got eyebrows and a weird beard. And Ben is that. When I met Ben, he was a fresh-faced little dingus trying to do... stand up and just doing a bad Gollum impression. And then
okay, I know you don't like he's Ben, just been, but I've heard his Gollum impression, and I gotta tell you, pretty solid.
The bit wasn't, and then he just keeps piling more iron filings onto his face to look more and more like a tiny version of Kenneth Branagh from Wild Wild West. He's gonna try to destroy me with a giant robot spider. But my friend Kevin Klein won't let him. I'm Will Smith in this scenario.
Yeah, you're not.
I definitely I identify more with Kevin Klein in that movie.
Yeah, probably.
But in this scenario, Kenneth Branagh is pretty specifically trying to kill Jim West.
This feels like the most anyone's talked about Wild Wild West in a very long time.
There's a fun train. Let's throw Etch-A-Sketch out the window and do it on Wild Wild West.
Oh, if only we could. We've come so far, though,
like
Glenn.
I like that movie a lot when it came out, and I don't think I've seen it since. And we were probably like 11 or 12. When did that movie come out? 96?
I don't know. Maybe.
I was prime. Let's go watch a weird robot spider fight Will Smith.
It's age. True. Etch-A-Sketch. I don't know. Everyone's had one. Right?
Yeah, it's very popular. I believe it's in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Did not know that was a thing, but of course.
It is a thing. I think Etch-A-Sketch is in there. Now, famously kind of a pain in the ass to draw with.
Yeah, not super right? fun.
That's kind of the thing is that it is novel enough to be fun to just wiggle around and like have and think is like a good present for a small child.
But it's one of those devices that if you are legitimately good at creating art that, you know, you'd be like, holy shit, that's talent. Like, yeah. You've wasted your life.
Right. And there's people who do dope Etch-A-Sketch work.
Yeah. And, you know, the Etch-A-Sketch is like, I feel like it's a real common sight gag in like the Simpsons and Futurama and shit like that too, of like, oh, the Mona Lisa on a Etch-A-Sketch.
Yeah.
Real contrast, a juxtaposition of high and low class.
Because the dials only control the stylus in one direction at a time, but you can turn them both together.
Yeah, there's
to
two dials at the dinner party, baby.
There's two people at this Etch-A-Sketch dinner party. It's a real Etch-A-Sketch's dinner with Andre situation.
Oh, yeah.
What's the inspiration, you think? Right? Like with toys, a lot of the time, when you learn about like the history of a toy, whether apocryphal or not, they're like it was inspired by this person thinking this thing.
Right, like the Slinky was invented by a guy whose brother was murdered on a mattress.
Yeah, and then he was trying to hide the body, and they was dragging him down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then he slipped, yep. And he just did that Slinky roll down the stairs.
That's
like,
what it was. I was actually thinking mattress springs.
He's like,
but yeah, you're way more realistic and plausible. Sure, Glenn. Yeah. So what do we think this came from? What was the inspiration?
Well,
for
the Rubik's Cube guy.
Etch-a-sketch, rather.
Rubik was like an architecture.
Oh, he was a texture, all right.
He was an architecture.
He was a real character.
Professor in...
he had ridges and grooves.
And...
It was like sandpaper.
It was a... before it was a toy, it was just kind of like a design challenge of, can we make these 9 squares move independently? And then because there was a similar toy that like didn't work good, and the breakthrough was how they mounted those squares, mm-hmm. because they hold together, but you can move them all independently of each other.
So
it was like a design challenge is what inspired the Rubik's Cube. So Etch-a-Sketch was like, hey, I just want to draw bad. Do you think that was it?
Maybe.
He's like, you know how it's super easy to take pencil to paper and draw a picture like a human would do?
Mm-hmm.
What if every picture you made looked like it was drawn by a robot toddler?
Yeah, see? And what if we took the pencil shavings and we rubbed some socks on a balloon and we manipulated those shavings with that static electricity and made kids do it?
It is, I think, the pencil shaving thing is apt because I do believe it is graphite inside that bad boy.
I'm not a complete idiot. Just partial.
You're just a sweet boy.
Just a partial idiot.
You're a sweet
idiot.
Boy who tries. And I love you.
Oh, love you too. I mean, what is there to really say about an Etch-a-Sketch?
They are... Well, what I was saying is, so it's novel. Like, it's neat to turn a dial and watch a line.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the enjoyment that people get out of it comes from, like, can I operate this seemingly simple task well enough to do anything other than like a weird box.
Right. Do you ever try, like, I know we always tried to like spell out messages.
Like, yeah.
That was a big
challenge. That's what I would write on it more than try to draw.
Yeah. Well, you know how you like the secreted your desire for that stupid game show hosting?
Yeah. License plate.
I want to secret my desire to, you know, be the, you know, be the Kevin Feige of the Etch-a-Sketch cinematic universe.
Somebody's got to own the movie rights to Etch-a-Sketch.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would like to drive that ship, please. Thank you.
I don't know if there's like I think there's a Play-Doh movie coming out. But I feel like the success of the Lego movies really blew the doors off of like, let's just, whatever toy you got, just snap up the rights, let's make a movie and hope for the best.
What do you think?
So I think somebody owns the rights to an Etch-a-Sketch movie. I don't know if that means there's definite plans to make one, but...
So my pitch would be the universe exists within an Etch-a-Sketch.
Sure.
And all of the characters have the ability static electricity.
But all the characters, like the design is everybody's... gray and darker gray and boxy and weird looking?
No, characters? We'll have character designs. We'll think like little tiny people, right? But like the world itself is going to be like a desert kind of sandstorm post-apocalyptic type thing.
Like Lawrence of Arabia, in graphite.
In graphite, yeah. And with electricity.
And also 4 hours long.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I don't know how to edit myself.
Kids love very long movies.
Do they?
No.
Hmm.
My 6-year-old would sit through like
Wild Wild West.
If there was a My Little Pony episode that was a parody of Lawrence of Arabia but was also 4 hours long, I think it would hold her attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could easily write that. You know enough about that world.
I mean, the last My Little Pony spec script I wrote took me so far. I didn't get that thing I wrote it for.
Mm-hmm. You're on this podcast now.
It's true.
So maybe it did get you here.
I mean, we were already doing it.
Fuck.
Before.
I don't have much else to say about Etch-a-Sketches. Like,
what happens if you eat it?
You die.
Yep.
Yep.
Who made this bad boy?
So that's actually a very good question.
Because that's going to be on there.
We never...
Like, Rubik's Cube is easy. That's the guy's name. Mm-hmm. It's Mr. Rubik. I forget his first name. Pretty sure he lived in Prague.
Wouldn't it be Slinky. A motherfucker if this guy's last name was Etch? Like, it's clearly not, right? Like, it's like they found something that rhymed and was sort of catchy.
Yeah.
And loosely described what you're doing.
Sure. It's a fun name. I think that sells it. In it. Like, if it was called Scratchy Line Friend, it would not have been the success that it is. Because it shouldn't be as popular. Is it?
No, it's dumb.
My friends gave my daughter an Etch-A-Sketch on her first birthday, which is too little for an Etch-A-Sketch. Like, yeah. She can't really manipulate the knobs. Right. But, like, we gave it to her. Like, you can try. Like, you know, no harm in
right.
having her poke around at it. But she does enjoy using it now at 6 and has for a while. Not ever for very long. And she's not, like, drawing the Mona Lisa.
Right.
She just thinks it's funny to make weird lines and then shake it up and make more weird lines.
All right. Lightning round. Let's just quick Etch-A-Sketch stuff, right? Okay. It's red. The knobs are white.
Yeah. You can get other ones, but they're classic bullshit. Design, red, white knobs, gray graphite powder screen. It was invented by...
This guy's name's Herman.
I think it was a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Genuinely. Lucille...
Herman. See, I knew.
Lucille
I knew
Herman.
Yeah.
She was a...
And let's be honest, if it was invented by a woman and it was in the 60s or the 50s, right? Like, some fucking dude stole it and took credit for it. And
yeah. Like, it's a real landlord's game situation.
Yeah.
Lucille
Fuck
Herman
you, Monopoly.
Was a art teacher. And she's like, man, these kids are making drawings too good and permanent. I need to make a device so that they can make bad temporary art.
Yo, I love your sass and I feel you, but I want to pitch you like a serious twist on that
Hit
premise.
Me. Hit me with your twisty.
She was a science teacher.
What?
And she came up with this thing to teach about static electricity.
Ooh.
It was.
Seems like an elaborate step to take.
Kids be needing examples.
They do need examples, but, like, balloons are easy to blow up and rub on a child's
head.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. You were looking for that spark of inspiration. She was coming up with a lesson plan, yeah. Figure this out, and then
She's
was like
ooh,
oh, I'm going to do this thing.
I need to make a complicated device to show a pretty simple concept.
Right?
Because
it was like height of
most
Rube,
objects.
It was height of Rube Goldberg machine.
That's true.
Interest, you know? She was like, I'm going to cash in. I like it.
You should be able to do surgery with an Etch-A-Sketch.
I feel like everybody's parents have an Etch-A-Sketch somewhere in their basement or attic.
Yeah, everybody, I would say, if you are over 20 years old mm-hmm. and you go home to your parents' house, like, you know how, back to our bud Wayne Brady, who's not, we've never met and aren't actually friends, but he seems nice.
Sure.
Is the host of Let's Make a Deal. Mm-hmm. One of the features of that show is he goes up to people in the audience and he's like, I will give you $100 if you have a blue pen.
Yeah.
And they like, if they can pull out a blue. So I would give people $100 if they don't. No, because then they'll just pretend not find it. If I say, I'll give you $100 if your parents don't have an Etch-A-Sketch in their house.
Yeah.
You'd be like, they don't.
Appreciate
well, you got to look real good.
I appreciate
but you get it.
The effort that you put into that
you
bit,
get it.
But there was no follow through.
Yeah,
you
no.
Were never
it really
do
fell
that.
Apart at the end there.
Well, you were never going
to
do it.
No,
that's
it was a
why.
Hypothetical to begin with. Listeners, don't try to get $100 because your parents don't have an Etch-A-Sketch.
Yeah, you haven't even finished paying us for our courier business that
yeah.
we launched a couple of
our very
back.
Real courier business that no one has taken us up on
yeah.
because it's very expensive and impractical.
And I don't even remember what the specifics.
There were pretty
of.
Specific circumstances under which we would actually deliver any messages. But
I should pay more attention to the improvised Wikipedia canon.
Oh, well.
Who has the time? Well, speaking of time, let's we're out of time. So
we are out of time.
Let's step aside. Let's pay the bills. We're going to thank some of our sponsors. And when we come back, I'll pull up the old Wikipedia page for the Etch-A-Sketch. We'll see how we did. We're all tied up right now anyways. We didn't talk about that at the top. 20 wins apiece and 10 ties. It does not get more evenly matched than where we're at.
Because this score is an emotional roller coaster for me, personally.
Hey friends, it's John from the Improvised Wikipedia podcast here with my friend Glenn, who I would never leave out of these important ad reads. Oh, you're not going to talk now? You little shit. You little shit. You spent months up my cute little butt about how I'm recording sponsorship stuff without you. And then I go out of my way to welcome you into the ad reads, which you resent in the first place because you're trying to big time me because you're a nationally touring college comedian. Shut the fuck up, Glenn. Shut the fuck up and do the business, you sassy little bitch. Put the mic to your mouth and read the ad copy or I'm walking.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Oh,
I just showed up.
Oh, hey, bud.
I wasn't in the room before. I just walked into the room right now.
Yeah, that's definitely what
happened. That's what happened.
Fucker. Who's our sponsor this week, Glenn?
This week, we're brought to you by tea.
Tea?
Tea.
Not the letter, the plant that you pour water on and then drink the dirt.
Drink that hot dirt water. Tea. You tell me a little upset so you don't want to mess it up with coffee? Tea's probably gentler. I don't know. That's the official slogan.
Tea. Bedtime and you want a hot beverage, but milk is gross?
Milk is pretty gross.
It's so gross.
Tea, have you been sick for a month and a half because you have a compromised immune system and a lot of kids? Just drink some tea. It'll make your whole situation feel better.
Tea. Are you British and your ancestors tried to take over the globe? You like tea.
Tea. Are you made of leaves? I think we did that one already.
Yeah.
Tea. The other word for it is chai, and there was recently a pretty interesting article about why some places call it tea and some places call it chai, and I don't remember the reason, but look it up. Tea, are you Mr. Belvedere?
I am.
Then you love that tan water.
Gotta give me that tan water.
Are you Mr. Belvedere in the episode where he gave up tea for some reason, but then the little boy, Mr. Belvedere, caught you sucking on a tea bag because that wasn't technically drinking it, so it was okay, but you had the little tag hanging out of your mouth and you just looked like such a little rascal, and then they had to shut down production for a couple weeks because you sat on your nuts in a parade?
Use promo code Mr. Belvedere sucking on a tea sack.
Oh, Mr. Belvedere.
For 5% off tea.
Streaks on the China.
Tea is streets ahead. Well, we are back.
We're back.
We are back, and I have in front of me the official Wikipedia page for the Etch-A-Sketch.
Is the Taj Mahal in there? No.
There is on the sidebar a picture of a classic Etch-A-Sketch and the drawing, which appears to be photoshopped in after the fact.
No, that's just a very good one.
No, it is definitely not.
Why?
It is definitely not.
What are you talking about?
Well, agree to disagree. It is the Taj Mahal, though.
Yeah, I know big buildings. Why do you think that's photoshopped?
I'm just looking
at
it.
You don't think people can do good Etch-A-Sketch work? Why would they put that as the featured image if it was not a real Etch-A-Sketch drawing? Do you not have faith in?
I don't. That's
what
why
humanity
we're doing,
is capable of.
That's why
with
we're
an
doing this podcast. I don't have faith in Wikipedia. That's the whole premise of what this is.
No, I don't mean Wikipedia. I mean humanity, baby.
No, shut up.
People can be very good at the Etch-A-Sketch. Read the description for that picture and find out that it's real. Because there is. You used the Mona Lisa one as an example, but there's like really dope Mona Lisa Etch-A-Sketch drawings.
So there's no description of it. It's the Taj Mahal complete with ripples in the reflection, and someone is claiming it as their own work.
Some a-hole, probably.
Yeah, some fucking...
Oh, let me edit Wikipedia and put my own
some little butt.
Dope Etch-A-Sketch picture in there.
Yeah, it's not dope. It's fake. Etch-A-Sketch is a mechanical drawing toy invented by...
Lucil Herrmann.
André Cassagne of
we
France.
We got Cassagne.
Yeah. subsequently manufactured by the Ohio Art Company.
Ohio Art, god damn it.
And now owned by Spin Master.
Oh, okay. See,
of
I knew it was
Toronto,
somewhere, but yes.
Ontario, Canada. Yeah, this is a Canadian toy. This would be a French and Canadian toy, right?
Why?
Because it sucks just a little bit.
That's not
but
nice.
At the same time, definitely better than us.
It is fancy but inexplicable.
An Etch-A-Sketch has a thick, flat gray screen.
Daddy thick.
In a red plastic frame. There are two white knobs. Hey, that's us.
There's two white knobs in this dinner party.
On the front of the frame in the lower corners, twisting the knobs moves a stylus that displaces aluminum powder.
Oh, fucking aluminum.
On the back of the screen, leaving a solid line. The knobs create linographic images. The left control moves the stylus horizontally, and the right one moves it vertically. I think you had that backwards.
No, I did not.
All right.
Because
listening.
I am correct on all fronts. But we said a lot of those specific details. We nailed the colors specifically.
Yeah.
What the knobs do. Mm-hmm. We said the word stylus. We had the powder wrong.
Yeah, the specific powder we had wrong. No mention of static electricity yet, but we'll get down to that.
Whatever. You know, aluminum's not magnetic, so it's not magnets.
The Etch-A-Sketch was introduced near the peak of the baby boom on July 12th, 1960, and it was sold for $2.99.
Nailed the decade.
Yep.
Who gives a shit how much it cost?
It went on to sell 600.
Money's a construct.
Went on to sell 600,000 units that year and is one of the best known toys of the era. In 1998, it was introduced into the
Toy Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I know things about toys, baby.
Do you know where the National Toy Hall of Fame is?
Ooh, is it Las Vegas, Nevada?
It is not. I will give you a hint. It is a place that you and I have both been to and talked about on this podcast for God knows why.
I'm going to say Baltimore.
Good guess, but it's Rochester, New York.
Oh, Rochester, New York. Yeah. I'm going to be back there in January. I'm going to go check out this. I'm going to kiss that Etch-A-Sketch.
You better, baby.
I'm going to draw Etch-A-Sketch lips. I'm going to give it a little smooch.
Yeah, so it's sold over 100 million units worldwide. All right, here's a...
Oh, wait, no. I'll be in Rochester in April, not January.
So close.
My mistake.
Okay, there's a quick paragraph on mechanics. The toy is a kind of plotter.
Mm-hmm.
The inside surface of the glass screen is coated with aluminum powder, which
no
is then scratched off by a movable stylus, leaving a dark line on the gray screen. The stylus is controlled by the two large knobs, one of which moves it vertically and the other horizontally.
Yeah, talk about your large knobs.
Turning both knobs simultaneously makes diagonal lines. To erase the picture, the user turns the upside down and shakes it. Doing this causes polystyrene beads to smooth out and recoat the inside with the powder. So, yeah, there's no static electricity or magnets involved in this at all.
Yeah, but why would it coat it if it wasn't on with static?
I mean, because the beads smooth it out and recoat it. So it's the pressure.
It's the action
of
that makes it even, but that doesn't make it stick. Hmm. If you control F the word static on there, I'm pretty confident.
Let's do it. Now's a good time if you are a betting person to like place your bets on whether or not he's right. Okay, so there is a couple words of static on here. The first one is in a sentence about static-like sounds, so that doesn't count. And we click down. Yeah, no.
Nothing. Suck shit, Wikipedia.
Wow. I gave you
It doesn't stick to the thing because beads smooth it out. Those are two unrelated things.
I don't know what to tell you, man, but I gave you a cup of coffee before recording this one, and you are undeniably
jacked up.
Yeah. Daddy's on a caffeine high. All right, so the Etch-A-Sketch was invented in the late 50s by Andre Cassag. I don't know how you say that.
1960.
Well, it was invented in the 50s, introduced in the 60s. The original name for the toy was L'Ecran Magique, the magic screen.
Le Poke, the sand. Yep. Scratchy friend.
In 59, he took his drawing toy to the International Toy Fair in Nuremberg, Germany, and the Ohio Art Company saw it, but they really didn't have any interest in it at the time. When they saw it the second time, they decided to take a chance on it. L'Ecran Magique was soon renamed the Etch-A-Sketch and became the most popular drawing toy in the business. After a complex series of negotiations, the Ohio Art Company launched the toy in the United States in time for the 1960 Christmas season with the name Etch-A-Sketch, Ohio Art supported the toy with a televised advertising campaign. Yeah. Originally, the toy used a plastic glass screen, a plate glass screen, excuse me, which was criticized by safety advocates for being too easily broken.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. In November of...
Here, child, take this very fragile, sharp, dangerous thing that we will inform you to shake violently when you're done drawing the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, incredibly long story short here, in 1970, the FDA responded that the toy needed to be redesigned and they needed to replace the glass plate with plastic.
Yeah.
In 1955, a toy was featured in Toy Story, where there was a scene of a sentient quick draw duel with Woody, right?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a cute little scene. That little 12-second feature has been enough to give a significant sales boost. That's interesting. Doesn't have any numbers or any citation to back that up.
Well, then that's bad writing. Wikipedia, cite your shit. Yeah. We always do. We don't just make it up and say things with no basis in fact or reality. We bring... We do the opposite.
Yeah, we don't.
We pretty famously just make things
up.
That's
true.
Yeah.
So the Etch-A-Sketch was manufactured in Ohio until the company moved manufacturing to China in 2001.
Come on, Ohio.
In 1987, there was a low-res dot matrix display kind of handheld thing called the Etch-A-Sketch Animator.
I remember that bad boy.
How much do you think that cost initially?
Ooh.
The initial price, 1987.
$89.99. Yeah. How much do you think it goes for on eBay right now?
Because
I'm going to look that.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll get there faster.
Mm-hmm, good. Oh, you can type faster? We're going to do a little Etch-A-Sketch quick draw with Woody. There's two quick typers in this dinner party. I like that dinner party phrase you just made up.
Thanks. It goes for $6.
Really? Yeah, does it work, though?
There's one for $6. There's
you
one
can get
for
a lot
$15.
Of...
There's one for $20. There's one for $4. Yeah.
Because you can get a lot of pull-string talking Pee Wee Herman dolls on eBay pretty cheap, but none of them talk.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's sort of the end of the page. Sort of it. There's not a lot to Etch-A-Sketch.
Well, we did say that.
We did.
So I feel like that should count in our favor.
Sure. Apparently How Stuff Works did an episode on how an Etch-A-Sketch actually works. That's a nice little external link here.
I looked it up. I came across that when I was looking for proof of static.
Yeah. Was there any proof of static?
No. But like aluminum doesn't stick to glass. It's aluminum powder. It's not adhesive. What else would hold it there? The thing that geckos use to stay on walls? You know what I'm talking about. You know that tiny force because there's so much surface area on gecko pads that they can stick to walls.
It's almost as if someone who had like 35 toes and they had more surface area on their feet.
It's sort of like
that,
but I don't remember the name of the force that
it's the Spider-Man force.
Walls.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it is sort of the Spider-Man force.
I don't think we won.
I mean, we got the Decade.
We did.
We did goof up the name of the person who invented it.
Heartily.
But we got all the main details, and it's not.
We got the physical appearance of it.
We described the appearance and how that business works.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great Wikipedia page.
It's not.
There's not a ton of detail. I knew it was in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you did.
We got the powder wrong is our biggest mistake.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares. We said it already. Nobody listening remembers Etch-A-Sketch Boy's name.
I don't remember it, and I just read it.
Andre Cassagnes, but who cares?
Apparently, you do.
I'm lobbying for a tie. As
I mean, I'll give you a tie. I know we didn't win.
We didn't win for sure.
Yeah.
If we pin down the inventor and aluminum instead of graphite, clear victory.
Well, if we would have got the inventor's name right, it would have just been a straight win.
Would have been a walk-off home run, which is where you hit a home run.
Don't try to explain sports, but don't put yourself out there. I got you.
And you don't want to do any more baseball, so you just go home.
That's not it.
It's a walk-off home run.
That's not what that is.
You're like, I'm so good. No. Bye, everyone. I'm done. Now you guys do it.
I mean, kind of, but no.
That's how it works.
All right, let's call it a tie. We're still tied.
I saw Sandlot. I understand baseball.
If you had to futz with this page, you know, leave a little fake fact of your own, what would you do? I got a good pitch, and it's a multimedia pitch.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
I would get an Etch-A-Sketch, and I would, in bad cursive, write improvised Wikipedia podcast mm-hmm. on said Etch-A-Sketch.
I mean, that's probably going to be the art for this episode.
Take a picture of it and then replace the picture in the sidebar.
Ooh, cram it, Taj Mahal.
Yeah, cram it. Ooh. Objectively Photoshop Taj Mahal.
I don't think it's Photoshop. I do believe that's legit.
I wish.
But I do think it's a dick move to edit your own Etch-A-Sketch art into the page for Etch. Like, there should be a Wikipedia page for improvised Wikipedia.
Yeah, but nobody's done it yet. We're not going
to
do it.
We shouldn't. And I believe it violates Wikipedia policy for us to make it. Mm-hmm. We have to establish that we are culturally relevant enough to deserve it. And we've done podcast festivals.
We have.
We've done this show for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
We are good, famous boys. We're not famous,
no.
But we're not famous. Somebody make it. Do it. Do it, Rockapella. Rockapella, stop singing so much and take 20 minutes out of your day. Let Carmen Sandiego slide this time around.
Yo, are your kids old enough for the Carmen Sandiego show on Netflix yet?
No. Yeah. We watched it and it just did not hold her interest.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, the first part is like a 2-part episode.
Ugh.
And the first part of the 2-part episode is just kind of like how good doing crime is. And then my daughter lost interest.
Oh, that's good.
So, like, the part where I guess they understand that, like, maybe don't do crime. Because the problem is she's a criminal, so making her the star of the show and, like, the protagonist is
I thought you were talking about your daughter for a second.
My daughter? Well, yeah. She will.
The problem is she is a miscreant.
She will 100% do crime in her life. For sure.
Bye.